Yeah, it's a wonderful opportunity to bring God's Word. Will you please turn with me in your Bibles to Colossians 3, and we'll read from verse 9. It excites me to hear the rumbling of Bible pages. There's a scripture in the Old Testament that David says, he says he gets excited when he hears the rumbling of the trees, but I get exciting when I hear the rumbling of the Bible pages. And I want to encourage you to get a Bible if you don't have one. I want to encourage you to read your Bible. We sang a song as a little child in a Pentecostal church. Read your Bible and pray every day and you will grow. I don't know whether I read the Bible so much, but I did grow, and I'm growing more and more as the days go on. Colossians 3 verse 9 says this: "Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge and the image of its creator." Verse 11, "Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all." I want you to say that after with me. Let's just say it. Christ is all and in all. I want you to say it again. Christ is all and in all. I want to speak to you this morning about a topic which, after the release of President Nelson Mandela about 21 years ago, and after the first constitution in 1994 and the second constitution in 1996, and after all of these years, it should not be a topic that we need to speak about. But if we open up the newspaper, what do we find? We find that there is, in our country at the moment, an amazing, amazing lack of love for one another. Is it right? If you open it up, you either find an Afrikaans organization taking a leader to court, suggesting that what he's singing is hate speech. We find another political leader calling the Indian group certain names. We find yesterday's newspaper, the heading was how some person is getting rid of racism. He had two tattoos all over his face, and now he's gradually, as he's becoming more and more tolerant with other people, he's removing the tattoos from his face. I don't know how many of you read that article in the newspaper. And we find the whole time in our country where it should be that there should not be any more racism. Racism is alive and well in South Africa, whether we want to believe it or not. And we see that since 1994, we wanted to attack the atrocities of the apartheid system, and the way we did it was by abolishing laws, by abolishing atrocious laws. And we thought that if we abolish laws and take things off the law book, it will change people's hearts. I ask you this morning, has any law changed any person's heart? And can any law change any person's heart? What it can do, it can make it can look as if things have changed. But if you speak to white people today, you find that white people are finding the new South Africa very, very difficult to tolerate. If you speak to black people today, they are saying that we are not dealing with the atrocities of the past properly. The clergy are calling that there should be reconciliation, and the only way that there can be reconciliation is by way of restitution. Now, if you read the Mosaic Law, and if you read the Ten Commandments, and if you read the 2000 laws, the regulations that flow from the Ten Commandments, then you'll see that restitution is the answer for something that was done which harmed you. So we want to say, we want to take the law and we want to change people's hearts. And I've got news for South Africa, and I've got news for you, and I've got news for myself. Inherently, if we do not understand that Christ is all and in all, it will, our country will not change. No political party can change the heart of somebody. No political party can change our hearts. There's only one thing that can change our hearts. And that is when I say this verse, I want you to say it with me every single time during this sermon. It is Christ is all and in all. We find that if you read the newspaper, white people will say there's corruption about this black government. They're stealing this country away from us. What does it do? It creates a root of bitterness in our hearts. We find that if there's a Springbok rugby player who plays and he's white, everybody cries out, there are too few black Springboks in the rugby side. And the whole time our country is being bombarded with racial and segregation issues. Am I right or am I wrong? And you know what it creates in us? It creates in us continually bitterness. If you ask the Indian community if they liked what a certain political youth leader said some time ago about them, they will say to you, it's an outcry. This guy is a racist. Brothers and sisters, I want to say to you this morning that there's only one thing that can change us, and that is Christ is all. I want you to say it the whole time with me. Christ is all and in all. Now you ask me, how does it affect me? How does it affect us? Isn't it so that I have got a culture, I've got an Afrikaner culture or a Venda culture, and I've got certain customs that I've got to adhere to, and does Christ is all and in all, does He change my culture? Does He change me or does He not? Does it mean when I accept the Lord Jesus Christ, I still maintain my customs and my culture? I still maintain my religious practices and my religious thoughts, and I still remain and have within me my unforgiveness towards other races. Does it change? The fact that we have got this congregation and we sang in Afrikaans and Zulu this morning in English, I want to say to you, that doesn't change people's hearts. But what it has changed people's hearts, because what is in our heart will come from our mouths, the Word of God says. But you know, I was thinking in preparation for this message, let's look at the life of Jesus. If you've ever seen a racist group of people, it was the Jews. They were racist par excellence. They believed that only the Jews can get into the church and to the synagogue and nobody else. So if it was in those days, they would have had a big sign at the entrance of the synagogue, Jews only. Does that sign remind you sometime of signs that we've seen in this country over years? Whites only, no blacks allowed. So Jesus Christ grew up in a culture and in a custom that was racist par excellence. They thought that the Ten Commandments would separate them from other people, and that they are better than other people. But Jesus comes into this world. You know how He comes into this world? One of the laws says that if you commit adultery, you get stoned. Jesus gets born from a father and a mother who is not married. So the birth of Jesus is an act of grace. Have you ever thought about that? Even the birth of Jesus showed the Jewish customs that you cannot rely on Jewish customs and Jewish culture. It's a sign of grace. But Jesus remained a Jew, didn't He? We see Him as a young boy. We see Jesus going into the synagogue and He teaches the Jewish leaders, and they're amazed about the fact that He's got so much knowledge. So He participates in terms of the Jewish customs and in terms of the Jewish religious practices. He participates in it so much so that His parents once said to Him, "Where have you been? We've missed you. And what did he answer? He said, but I've been busy with my father's business. He was even prepared to deal with his own parents on this issue. So as far as Jewish customs are concerned, we see Jesus as a young boy. He participated in it, and he was a real Jewish boy. But when Jesus Christ was baptized by John the Baptist, what does he do? What is the first Jewish custom that he eradicates from their system? The first miracle that Jesus does is he goes to a wedding, and it's only a Jewish wedding. No Greeks and barbarians and Scythes and slaves. It's only special people that went to that wedding. So Jesus arrives at this wedding. And when it was a Jewish custom that they had holy clean water. And that holy clean water would be used to wash the people so that they can be cleansed, so that they can have lekker, so that they can get lekker drunk and eat a lot of stuff and food. So there's a crisis at this wedding. There's a crisis at this wedding. They run out of wine. What does Jesus do? He takes that holy cleansing water and he turns it into wine. What does he show those Jewish people? He says, I don't care about your customs. If I want to work, I will work and I will use this custom. Whatever you want to say about it, I will use it to my glory and to my edification. What else does he do? The Jewish custom says, no woman, you don't speak to a woman. Woman had no say. In fact, in a Jewish synagogue, even to this day, men are allowed in the holy section, and the women are not allowed in the holy section. To this day. What does Jesus do? He says, I'm not interested in the Jewish custom. I'm not interested in the Jewish culture. I will walk and I will sit. And there's a woman, there's a Samaritan woman sitting at a well. And what does Jesus do? He first of all speaks to a Jewish woman. I mean, a Samaritan. No, he first of all speaks to a woman. Whew! He can be lucky his disciples went to go and find food because they would have reprimanded him. But not only does he do that, he also goes and he speaks to a woman that is a Samaritan. Now, if you think the blacks under the apartheid years were regarded as second-rate citizens, you've seen nothing yet. The Jews did not even speak to the people of Samaria. They were second-rate citizens. They were not allowed to be in certain places. And what does Jesus do? Jesus comes, and he goes and he sits at a well, and he starts speaking to the woman. What does he say to us? He's saying to us that at some point, because Christ is all and in all, my culture and my custom is transcended by my love and my goodness, because Christ is all and in all. And he speaks to the Samaritan woman. So we find firstly that Jesus deals with the customs of the Jews and he says, I'm not interested in those customs because my love transcends that. Secondly, what does Jesus do? He deals with the religious practices. We see after he had turned the water into wine, he enters into Jerusalem and he finds that the people are using the synagogue to make money. What does Jesus do? He takes a whip, and he gets so angry, and he whips, and he takes those people, those dove sellers and the tax collectors, and he chases them out of the synagogue. What was he showing us? He was showing us that it is much more than just a building. There's something special about the temple. Because I am the temple and you cannot touch my temple the way you did it. How does he deal with the law when the law says you're not allowed to work on a Sabbath day? What does Jesus do? He heals people on a Sabbath day. What do the Pharisees say to them? How can you do that on a Sunday? Rather let the guy be sick. Heal him tomorrow. Guys, that is exactly what Jesus experienced as a Jew. They were so religious that they couldn't even allow God, through His Son Jesus, to heal people on a Sunday. But Jesus says, Christ is all and in all. So when there is a need of somebody that needs to get healed, I don't care what the Ten Commandments say. I will heal that person because Christ is all and in all, and He transcends the Ten Commandments. It transcends the Jewish customs and religions. And the third thing that Jesus does. So first of all, we see Jesus says, there's a point where my culture and my custom is subservient to my relationship. He says there's a point where my religious practice is subservient to my love for Him. And in the third place, what does Jesus do? He says, my love is not only for the Jews. You see, the Jews were like the Afrikaners. They thought that this country of milk and honey is only for them. They thought that Jesus would arrive and He will give them the land of milk and honey and it would only be for them. But what they didn't realize, the bees and the cows were in America. That's what the apartheid people didn't realize. They thought the land of milk and honey is here, but the bees and the cows were in America. Or wherever. Jesus' love is so amazing that when He says in John 3, and if you do yourself a favor, I want to say to you this morning, if you don't know where to start reading the Bible, start with John. Because John gives you an amazing summary of Jesus' life from John 1 to 16 or 17, I'm not sure, or 19. But Jesus comes and He says in John 3, what does He say? He now speaks to a Jewish man. Not only a Jewish man, a very, very prominent and bright Jewish professor of the Jewish law. And He says to him, you know what? For God so loved the Jews that He sent Jesus to the world. Is that what He said? No. What did He say? He said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So not only does Jesus deal with the customs and the culture of the Jews, not only does Jesus deal with the religious practices of the Jews, what does He do? He shows them unconditional love. And when He says on the cross, it is finished, what does He mean? He says, it is finished for everybody. I forgive everybody. I forgive the barbarian, the Scythian, the Greek, the Jew, the Afrikaner, the English, the Zimbabwean, the Moroccan, even the Americans, even the English I forgive, and even the Irish I forgive. He says, the Zulu, the Xhosa, He says, when I die on the cross, I forgive everybody. Do you know what? Jesus loved Hitler just as much as He loved you and me. Do you know that Jesus loved Gaddafi just as much as He loved you and me? I want to ask you this morning, when you heard about Gaddafi's death, what did it bring up in you as a Christian, as a person of Grace Generation? What did it bring up? What was the first thought in your mind? Let me be honest with you. The first thought that was in my mind, good riddance. But I know no one of you thought like that. It's just me. But is that the love of God? Is that thought that came into my heart? Is that what God's love is about? No, because Christ is all and in all. When Jesus hung on the cross, He didn't make Ntabi a special place for the people, for the Sotho people. He didn't. Ravi, sorry, He didn't make a special place for the Indians. I'm sorry for you, man. I'm really sorry. Yes. I'm sorry for you, Patsy. Oh, the Irish haven't got a special place there. I'm very sorry. Ek is jammer, ou Sewes, hy het ook nie 'n spesiale plek net vir die Afrikaners gehad nie. For the Germans, sorry, he didn't have a special place either. You know what? He's got a special place for all of us. And that is what changes the world. That is what changes you and me, because Christ is all and in all. Now you say to me this morning, that's all very well and true. But how does it affect us? How does it affect me and you in the new South Africa? Let me tell you, let me give you a bit of perspective. If you meet with Afrikaans or English or white people in general today, they will say to you, this country is going down. I'm telling you that. They will say to you, blacks are getting appointed because they, just because of the color of their skin. They don't have merit. They shouldn't get these jobs. This country is being stolen under our feet. That's the reality. Don't look at me as if that's not the truth. That is the truth. That is what happens. We are lying to ourselves. Paul says in Colossians 3, let's stop lying to one another. We are lying to ourselves if we think that's not what is happening. I can tell you, it doesn't create a sense of endearment to me when I read the municipality of Paris in the Free State cannot account for 100 million rand. It doesn't create a sense of endearment to me towards that municipality. I know it does to you because you don't care, but to me it doesn't. Because if we think in terms of our legal minds, if we think in terms of our minds, if we think that laws are going to change this country, we have two things coming. The fact that you are in this congregation does not mean that a law tells you to be here. The fact that you are in this congregation is because your heart has been changed. But I've got news for you. Even in this congregation, if we don't deal with the issue of the past, we will never trust one another. I can tell you now that sometimes we sit here and we say, yes, the whites say this, they say this, they say that, they say this, but can I really trust them? You don't have to shake your heads. You don't have to raise your hands. But God is saying to us, that Christ in all, Christ is all and in all, that will change us. So the first point that I want to say to you is that when Paul writes this in Colossians 3, he takes it even a step further than what Jesus did. Paul takes what Jesus did and how he lived, he takes it a step further and he says, listen, I want to say to you that the only way that the Jew, the Greek, the Scythian, the Barbarian, the Afrikaner, the Duitser, the Engelsman, the Ir, the man from Zimbabwe, the man from Ghana, that maak nie saak nie, the only way that we will be able to be changed is if Christ is all and in all. Galatians 4:15, let's turn to that verse. Sorry, Galatians 5:14 says this. It says this, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I've often preached about the law and the Ten Commandments in this church and how we don't even fall under the Ten Commandments. But what this says is the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I want to ask you this. If the black taxi driver, if you're driving down Loop Street, okay, and the black taxi driver comes and he just pushes in front of you, I can just sense all of you have got this, the whole law is fulfilled in love your neighbor. I can just sense that you really love this guy. And I don't care whether you're white or black or whatever. It's got nothing to do with it. If we don't understand that Christ is all and in all, we will not be able to succeed. Now, how do we do it? How do we deal with cultures and customs in Grace Generation? How do we deal with it? Let me give you a couple of examples how we deal with it. How the love of God and Christ is all and in all deals with the issue of culture and customs. Vuyu is a Khoza girl. She falls in love with a Venda girl, with a Venda man. I'm glad you laugh, so you're listening. So Vuyu falls, let's say Vuyu was a Jew, she falls in love with a Sumerian. Because let me tell you, if you think the Khozas and the Vendas are one, you've got two chances. They zip, they are as far apart as the Jews and the Sumerians. Ndu and Khabi, Zulu and Zutu, fall in love. The culture says, the Khoza culture says, that Victor has to pay huge lobola. But not only that, he has to go to the Khoza culture. And the Khoza culture is a male-dominated culture. The Venda culture is a woman-dominated culture. So Vuyu says, I want to marry this man, but I've got a little bit of problems. I said, you've got a little bit of problems. She says, during the negotiations, Victor's maternal aunt is going to do the negotiations for the lobola with a Khoza man. joke. And we started praying as our cell group and we said, God, Christ is all and in all. We said, God, you can change this culture and the custom because Vuyu loves you and Victor loves you and they want to get married and no culture or custom is going to stop what God has in store for them. And we started praying and we said, God, during these negotiations, Lord, just work it out. But it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there. I said to somebody, and Craig has often said it many times in this church, one of the biggest problems why our people are living in sin is because of the fact that men cannot afford the lobola. So Victor comes to me and he says to me, he hasn't got lobola. But he's really getting very, very hungry. And he wants to marry Vuyu. And we started praying. And we said, God, you will protect Vuyu and Victor. And they, oh God, will become one in you. And you will sort this out. On the night before their wedding, the uncle, an astute, charismatic man, tall man with gray hair, he says, I want nothing to do with this wedding. I'll be here, but I won't speak. I'll do nothing. He arrives in this church, and he sees what God does when he brings people together. After the wedding, he stood up, and he spoke. Brothers and sisters, Christ is all and in all, changes customs and culture. And to this day, he will still have to pay lobola. But to this day, Victor hasn't paid, and they're happily married. What am I saying to you? We cannot let the worldly laws and customs determine who we are and how we act and what we do. Because Christ is all and in all. Let me give you another example of customs and culture. I want to tell you a story about a man who grew up in an Afrikaans home. His father was in politics. His mother was the chairperson of the National Party. Of politics, he knew a lot. He grew up under the apartheid regime. He never realized that black people have got any rights whatsoever. Never, ever. He was part of secret Afrikaans organizations that managed to get the best positions, the best in every school, in every government department. If you were part of this secret organization, you would get everything that you want eventually. It's so secret that you get appointed in a dark little room, and the next minute you walk into that room and there's this all these funny stuff that happened. But he meets Jesus. And in 1996, he joins this church. But he still doesn't love black people. I tolerate them, but I still don't have a love for them. Because inherently, if you grew up under the apartheid regime, you are inherently racist. It's in your being, it's part of your bones, it's part of the way you think. If somebody drives behind you as a white person and does something funny, you go home and you tell your wife, a black man did this. If it was a white man, you will tell your wife, a man drove behind me. That's how bad it is. I want to tell you, black people, if something happens to you with a white guy, you will go back home and say, a white man did this to me. But if it was a Zulu, you would just say, a man. That is how bad it is. I'm touching what... And we started a prayer meeting. I was in... It is me that I'm talking about. I started a prayer meeting just with whites only. Okay, in 1994, 95. And the cream of the white people were at that prayer meeting on a Friday morning. The cream, man. It was orthodontists and doctors and advocates and lawyers. I mean, it was just this very rich white people. And I came into this church. Pete Dreyer introduced me to this church. And I realized there's much more to my relationship. Because Christ is all and in all. I've got to get away from this Bruderbond thing. And we started a prayer meeting in this church on a Friday morning. And black people also prayed. I was in this church for about 2 years. And one morning, I will never forget it in my whole life. One morning, Benson was praying in the old Gateway Church in the corner. And a love was generated in me for Benson that I cannot explain to you. But for the first time, as a 37-year-old man, I felt a love for a black person. And I want to say to you, it's because of Christ is all and in all. No law changed and did what happened in my heart that morning. And ever since this day, my love for everybody in this church consumes me. In fact, sometimes I think I love the white people less than the black people. But what am I saying to you? I'm saying to you that if our hearts do not get changed by the love of God, nothing can change it. No truth and reconciliation can change it. No majority government can change it. God changes our hearts. God changes our thoughts. God changes our minds towards other people. Nobody else. But I want to shock you. I want to say to you that our love for our fellow man, and in this country where we are at the moment, our love across cultures and across race has to be dealt with in my life on a daily basis. It's not something which you get freedom of immediately because of what, of the past and because of what has happened to us all. The minute something happens and is done by a race outside of us, the root of apartheid and the root of racism and the root of bitterness just jumps up in us. And God also wants to change the black people in our church. God wants to change the white people in our church. God says in His Word, He says, Christ what? Is all and what? In all. And if we don't apply that to our lives, because I can tell you that there are still so much inferiority even amongst the black people in this congregation towards whites. There are still inferiority that has come from the past. And God says to us this morning, He wants to deal with it. Christ is all and in all. The time has come that this congregation can change this city. Each one of us in this congregation has got the duty and the ability. But we've got to allow God, we've got to allow all of us to get rid. I've got to get rid of all my cultural stuff as an Afrikaner, and I battle with it. But God wants to change us. God wants to change us. God wants to change you. God wants to change me. And He wants us to realize that in this church, in this country, there's no Greek, there's no Jew, there's no barbarian, there's no free man, there's no slave, but Christ is all and in all. And I don't care where you are this morning. I want the worship band to come up. I don't care where we are this morning, but God is saying to us this morning that this morning, if we don't have the ability to forgive and to release, because reconciliation does not take place anywhere else but at the cross. Forgiveness does not take place anywhere else but at the cross. Our lives do not get changed but at the cross of Jesus. And I want to ask you this morning, if you are sitting here and you are saying to yourself, you know what, I actually haven't dealt with this thing, and I need to deal with this issue. I need to deal with this love my neighbor, because the whole law is in one: love your neighbor as yourself. Why? And how can we do it? Because Christ is all and in all. And you know what? I want to say to you, it takes a man in this congregation to say, Lord, I want you to set me free. Because our congregation is supposed to be a multicultural church. But I believe this word is for us. I believe this word is for each one of us sitting here this morning. It's something that we have to deal with every day of our lives. We have to, as black people say, I am not inferior, because Christ is all and in all. I will stand up and I will take my rightful place, irrespective of the color of my skin. I will say, as white man, I will be careful, I will be sensitive to deal with the other people in this congregation, so that Christ is all and in all. You don't know how nervous I was for this word. I've never been nervous as much as this word. I said, God, how can this word be for this congregation? But by seeing and experiencing even the look on your faces during my word, I know that this was a word for people on the move. And I want to ask you this morning, I want to ask you, and I want you to close your eyes. And if you say to me, Avril, I want to stand up with you this morning, and I want to make a declaration. Oh God, my culture, my customs, my religious ideas, Lord, I place everything this morning at your feet, because I want to be and have Christ in me, because Christ is all and in all. In my workplace, in my friends, wherever I am. If there are some of you that want to stand with me this morning, don't stand because everybody's standing. This is serious stuff. If you want to stand up and say, Lord, I want to deal with this once and for all, who wants to stand up with me and say, God, I want to have my life changed this morning? Who's there to stand up? Who else is there? Who else is there? Who else is there? This is serious, serious stuff. This is serious stuff. But there where you are, start speaking. I want to say to you something else, that this is something which you've got to deal with yourself. You've got to get victory over that in your own mind, in your own self. I can't even pray for you to get victory to get victory over this. You've got to take victory in it, in yourself. And there where you are, I really believe that God is here. And if you want to come to the front, you're welcome. But I really believe this is a word for us all. I really believe that there are people even still sitting that think that they're okay with this. But God says to us this morning, is it really in your heart? Christ is all and in all. And there where you are, just start speaking to God. Just start speaking and tell Him, just tell Him, God, I want You to be in me because Christ is all and in all, Lord. I want to forget about any prejudices, Lord Jesus, and I want to follow You. I want to follow You. Forget about my culture, my custom, my religious practices. I want to experience Your unconditional love and unconditional forgiveness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come. I really believe that God wants to touch us and move this morning. And I've asked Claire and Colleen, and I want them to come and worship and take this and take this thing and let us be renewed this morning as a congregation. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus.